This is Mona Lisa.
WDFW, is anybody on?
I'm here. This is Marlisa.
Hi, Marlisa.
Hey, Chad.
So we'll just give it a few minutes here and wait for other people to join us.
Doesn't look like we're getting as many chum in Williams Creek and Nema as we normally do.
Yeah, we have been doing those spawning ground surveys. Williams is one of the creeks that we are do have a survey in, and we've been seeing pretty decent numbers of chum throughout our indexes this last week, but we'll touch on that during the call. Somebody just join in. Who joined us?
Steve.
This is Ross.
What was that? Can we go one at a time?
Ross Barkhurst.
Okay.
Steve Berner.
Okay. So we got a few more minutes here. We'll wait and before we get started, see if we can get some more people on the line. WDFW, who just joined us?
This is Bob.
Yeah.
Who?
Did you say, was that Tim?
Where's Bob?
Okay, got that, Bob. Who else joined us?
Lance Gray.
Yep.
Oh, my fault.
So I've got Marlisa, Ross, Steve, Bob, and Lance. Is there anybody else? So we've got Marlisa, Ross, Steve, Bob, Lance. Anybody else on the line before we get started?
Hi. Yeah, Chad, this is Mara Zimmerman.
Oh, thank you, Mara. And it sounds like we just had one more.
Andy.
Andy?
Yep.
Okay, since it's 1 o'clock, I think we'll go ahead and get started. So thank you all for joining the call on such a short notice. I really appreciate you guys being able to take some time out of your schedule to sit down and listen to us and give us some input here. So the purpose of this call is we've got some concerns around natural origin coho and coho escapement. We've got an updated ISU that we'll talk about here in a second. We'll also talk a little bit about chum escapement and what we've seen there. So I think we'll start these calls off like we normally have done in the past. I'll have Barb walk us through the technical information. There is some small updates to what we sent out yesterday just as a result of catch and hatchery operations that occurred yesterday afternoon. So she'll update us on all that. And then we'll kind of talk through the issue. We'll allow some time for questions and answers about any of the technical information. And then I'll go through each of the advisors one by one and just kind of quickly take some input on what they think we should do to the fishery schedule moving forward. Does that sound good to everybody? Okay, and I just want to check names one more time to make sure I've got everybody. So I've got Marlisa, Ross, Steve, Bob, Lance, Mara, and Andy. Is there any other advisors other than that on the line?
I'm here. Greg's here.
Greg. Okay. And here from WDFW in our lovely Region 6 offices, I've got myself, Barb McClellan, Lyle Jennings, and James Losey in the room.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. So this is Tim. Did you get me down?
Oh, you're on now? Okay. Okay, so with that, I think we'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and I'll have Barb jump into the technical information. So, there you go, Barb.
Okay, so like Chad said, the spreadsheets that went out yesterday, I've updated them to account for some catch that is coming through the commercial fishery through today that landed this morning, as well as updated some hatchery information because they did some bridge stocking at Forks Creek yesterday. So so the first piece I'm going to go through is just the catch from the commercial fishery. So looking at what was predicted, we had predicted just over 9,800 coho to be, or natural coho to be caught, and at this point we have had NORs, in terms of NORs, we've had 2,900. Their total catch is just over 8,000 to date as of this morning. As far as the recreational fishery goes, we have the rec monitoring from the creel. From that, we have an estimate of unmarked coho of 404 fish, and that was predicted to catch 2,700 natural origin coho. We don't have any estimate of freshwater catch, given that we don't have any creel or anything there, but they were predicted to catch 2,900 natural origin coho. So, as far as the hatchery information goes, at Mesa, we have a program goal of 1.4 million, and at this point, we have caught we've taken just over 2 million eggs. At Forks Creek, our new program goal, or that we'll be discussing, is just about 600,000, and we have taken 1.4 just over that as of yesterday. Those are on-station program goals. We do have co-ops that go out of there, so we have an additional 1 million eggs that we're trying to get eggs for the RSIs and the co-ops.
Are those all hatchery fish that the eggs came from?
No.
No, our coho programs in Willapa Bay are integrated, so there is some number of natural origin broodstock that's included into the broodstock.
Yeah.
Okay, any questions just on that? Those updates. All right.
Okay, I'm not hearing anything. We have a couple of tools that we utilize here to kind of help us in season move forward. First thing I want to touch on is the chum. We're right about in historically peak weeks for spawn timing for chum. We do have a tool that we have utilized to estimate the total chum run once we get past week 42, 43 here. So we have run that model, and based on the information we have to date, in comparison to historic spawn timing, we have a range of NOSs on the spawning grounds for chum of 36,989 to 52,936. So we're feeling pretty comfortable about chum escapement, although on the low end of the range there that we're confident in, we're only, about 1,500 fish above the escapement goal. So that's kind of our current projection for chum escapement is somewhere in that range of, you know, just shy of 37,000 to 52,000. Any questions on that?
Well, yeah, Chad. What did you say was the numbers that's been recognized on the chum?
I'm not sure what you mean by recognized.
Well, what do you got? What was the numbers you just threw out there?
Well, we're throwing. So that's our estimate of what we think the escapement estimate will end up being at the end of the season. We're still in the middle of peak, so we have to kind of take what we've got so far in our index surveys and expand that based on the proportional spawn timing that we're at in this week. We still got chum that will continue to spawn. So that number is a range right now. If we look at the low end of the range, it's just shy of 37,000. The high end would be a little over 52,000.
Okay. That's all. Yeah, I just want to get numbers written down right.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Ross. What's the escapement goal for Chum?
35,400. Any other questions on that?
That's a bay-wide escapement goal?
Yes, that is the bay-wide escapement goal.
And can you break that down for us with your stream surveys of where most of that is coming from?
It's coming from a variety. We have three main indexes that we use to produce our AUC estimate, area under the curve estimate, and then that gets expanded by a linear regression model to the rest of the bay. Those surveys take place in Lower Salmon Creek, in Cannon River, and Ellsworth Creek.
Okay, so you are extrapolating those figures without actually counting in the other places.
Correct. Exactly, and that has been our method for innumerable years. Yeah, and that's consistent with methods used across the state for estimating chum escapement.
What did we learn, Chad, last year when we did the 6 or 7 or 8, whatever we did? Didn't we do that last year where we were going to do a check?
Yes, we did collect data from the other historic chum indexes. I believe there were 10 indexes. We just got one data point. We're doing that again this year, so we don't really have any results of that until we get a few years' worth of data to analyze.
What happened to all the previous data from those 10 10 areas where I did the spawner surveys.
We still have it.
Are you still utilizing it, though?
Yes, it is built into, it is built, that historic data is built into the model. It's what the, that historic data is what the linear regression model is based off of.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Ross. As I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Williams Creek is not one of the 10 index streams.
Correct, it is. No, actually, Williams Creek is one of the 10.
Okay.
We've been in there every week. Okay, I'm not hearing any more questions on that, so I want to move forward into the coho piece. So, at the beginning of the season, we had a forecast for coho of 56,366. That was natural origin coho. We have run our ISU model that performs really well. We've got a good R squared on that model. And that model, once again, just to refresh everybody's mind, we've utilized this model in the past for the last few years. It is based on commercial catch and the catch per unit effort in the commercial fishery in order to relate it to total terminal run size of coho. And then we take a look at in-season sampling information to break that out by origin. So what that model is telling us right now, our best information to date, is an updated run size of 22,479. That would be a 60% reduction from the preseason forecast. So pretty significant reduction, a lot less fish out there than what we're seeing. Basically, our as Barb spoke through, our commercial harvest to date of Norris through yesterday, the commercial fishery closing yesterday, is 2,926. We have a spork estimate of 1,800 natural origin coho that would have been harvested this year under that reduced run size. So basically, when we pull all that together, if we were to continue on fishing as planned, we would estimate that we would have a natural origin spawner abundance of 14,989 fish. So only about 1,500 above the escapement goal of 13,600. And if we were to close completely this date, all fisheries, we would estimate a spawner escapement of 17,753. So basically, just to sum that up really quickly, if we were to remain open, we're estimating a buffer of about 1,300 fish above the escapement goal. If we were to close completely all fisheries, we'd estimate about a buffer of about 4,000 above escapement goal. Now, given some of the recent history of making escapement, we have not made escapement in 3 out of the last 4 years for natural origin coho. We know that, you know, that's been an issue over the last 4 years, and we've also have some of the environmental conditions to consider too. You know, we're at a pretty dry stage right now. We would expect river flows to be much, much higher than what they are. I think looking at the Northwest River Forecast Center this morning, our average flows would be somewhere in the 625 CFS range for Willapa and Nacelle, and we're down at about 120. So we're only about 20% of the average flow for this time of year. Looking forward in terms of the weather forecast, there is a little bit of rain over the next 10 days or so, but it does not appear to be enough to bump up any river flows. They're still look to be trending towards historical lows as we move through the end of November. So that's basically all the data that we've got to date. That's everything that we're looking at here. Just felt like we were at a point where we need to make a decision whether we want to keep moving forward with the fishery we have planned or to make some adjustments. And really, we're getting to like the last couple of weeks where we can really do that, that would provide any meaningful savings for the spawning grounds. So, any questions about of that.
I assume you're asking for suggestions.
Not quite yet. What I'm asking is just, do you have any clarifying questions about kind of everything we just talked about? And then I'll move to the suggestions, fishery suggestions. Okay.
What does the chief want to do?
What's that?
What is your position?
I think my recommendation right now, we're going to have an internal huddle up after this call and talk about it. We don't necessarily have a recommendation right at this point. I will say that only having about a 1,300 fish buffer, if we were to keep fishing as planned, given the recent history of not making coho escapement, there is a little bit of uncertainty in the ISU model. The ISU model works really well, but it does tend to over-predict a little bit when we have CPUEs in this low range. So there is some concern that 2,200 could be a little bit lower than that, although that's not data that we currently have. So, yeah, it's about people's comfort level and level of risk with only leaving 1,300 fish on the table, given the recent year history of not making escapements.
I have a question. When I looked at your chum harvest, comment and as a question, I noticed that you were, before the chum window, you were predicting 2,000 and some harvested, and you got like 23 or something.
Yeah.
My observation of the bay and the name of the river is that there was no early run. Normally, when we have a healthy run, there are good numbers on October 15th, and I saw no good numbers till the end of October. Normally, the first week in November, it switches from mostly bucks to mostly hens. So that's what's out there and coming in now in good numbers. It's hard with all your models to imagine, you know, what kind of a chum run you're going to have when you have the first half of the run there aren't any. And the second half of the run looks, you know, fair. But my question, I see on there that your mortality rate for nets includes dropouts now, and it's 59%. So although we concentrate on coho, I have concern about netting hen chum with a 60% mortality rate, even when you throw them back. I assume that mortality rate is even higher, that netting and releasing wild coho is not an option. Is that true?
So a couple things there. It is apparent to us when we start looking at how this chum run is shaping up that things have been pushed back just a little bit. It looks like we're about a week behind what we could consider historic peak timing or first instance or first encounter in the fishery. So it does appear as if the chum run has moved back a little bit. That's pretty consistent with what we're seeing in other areas across the state for chum run. Grays Harbor, South Sound chum, Hood Canal chum have all been exhibiting a later than normal run timing. And like I said, we've been conducting those index surveys. We've got a pretty good tool here in front of us that's estimating that we'll get somewhere between 37,000 to 52,000 chum. So really
we're experiencing very high atmospheric pressure that certainly might tend to hold them up in the bay. But you put the nets in, that means that you're going to get even more.
Hey, Chad, could you give me back on the coho landings already. Would you give me those numbers for the commercial and the recreational landing total?
Sorry, Bob, what was the last part of that? I heard get those numbers for the commercial.
The commercial coho landings and also the recreational.
So the commercial coho landings to date are 2,926 natural origin coho.
Okay, those are naturals, okay.
And 5,131 hatchery origin coho.
5,000 what?
5,131.
Okay. Good, okay. And then what was the recreational catch?
The recreational catch so far, the only recreational catch data we have is from the recreational creel estimate. What we counted on hand to date from the marine creel is 404. What we're estimating, given the new run size, given the updated run size, throughout all recreational fisheries through the entirety of the fishing season is right around 1,800 fish.
Natural
origin is what we're estimating with the new run size.
What's that now? 1,800,
yeah, NORs.
And that, Chad, that's fresh as in marine water both, right?
Yeah, that would be the sum of all impacts to natural origin coho from recreational fisheries. Okay, any other questions? Okay, I think we'll go ahead and move into fishery suggestions, and I'm just going to, this time I'm just going to go with the names as I wrote them down on my sheet here. We always kind of swap this up a little bit, so Marlisa first.
And you're asking for suggestions specifically to whether or not we're going to shut the season down for everyone?
Well, what we're asking for is, given that information, given what we've walked through, yeah, what would be your suggestion for the remainder of the fishery?
Well, I would like to see conservation guidelines, you know, have some higher priority. Well, it looks like we've made it with the wild coho escapement, and I think that we should save what we've got. I do. I think that we haven't made it for a while, so we sounds like we've got it. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, we're estimating, like I said, if we were to remain open, we're estimating a spawner escapement of just shy of 15,000. Or basically a 1,500 fish buffer. If we were to close completely, we're estimating that we'd have about 4,000.
I would suggest that we save what we have and go ahead and close right now. Found ourselves lucky.
Okay, thank you, Marlisa. Ross?
I would say that we've got an error on the side of conservation. We have the record you mentioned of just not making coho escapement. For some reason, we're not good at forecasting. How many years have been? We have never met the criteria for a targeted chum harvest. And so now's not the time to push them to the edge. And so I would recommend No more netting of chum. I would recommend freshwater, no retention of chum, and in hatchery rivers only, which we've done before, recreational fishing for hatchery coho only.
Thank you, Ross.
Yep.
Steve?
I'm not real interested in seeing a shortage on the gravel. I hate to see the closure, though, but I'd like to see surpluses show up on the gravel. That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, I'd like to remind everybody, this is the lowest and driest year we've had in years and years, and I don't know the exact numbers for the Willapa, but I know Grays Harbor, this is the lowest it has been in over 100 years. got a lot of fish in the bay yet, chum as well as hopefully coho. The point being, and I'm going to remind everybody, the chum, okay, I like to see a weather change. As soon as we get a weather change, these dogs are going to go. We know that. They're not going to stop them. But the way the flood is going on here, there's been enough testing going on here and what we've seen out in the bay. I don't think the department has done the commercial side or is doing an injustice to the commercial side, because the sports priority crap we had gives a Chinook to the recreational and the coho and the chum to the commercial side. And lo and behold, we always get the short end of the stick. I would say, let's not open it next week, but open it the two following weeks, because we got some weather coming this coming week. And then also on this deal, anytime you're going to close the commercial down, you have to completely shut the recreational fishery down 100%. Otherwise, it's not fair. It plain is not fair, because we know damn good and well guys that are recreational fishing in the rivers right now are just knocking the hell out of the silvers as well as the chum. So you've got to turn around and get them off the rivers. The only way to do that is completely shut the rivers down.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Lance?
I feel like that word conservation, we use it when we want to, I guess, but not so much when we don't want to. But I think that, and I don't know if it's possible from your position, Chad, or how this all goes, but I would like to see you close it to all fishers right now, and to somehow evaluate where we are. I don't know if it's week by week, or, and I don't even know if that's possible. I know funding and money, and I guess what I'm saying is I would like to see us get away from a priority-based management and get to an abundance-based management, and that's how I see these fisheries. When we have plenty of fish, then everybody gets to go fish them. When we don't have plenty of fish, then nobody gets to go fish them, so... I think you trying to manage a priority-based fishery has proven to be almost impossible. Certainly causes much tension in our group. And I think somehow, some way, you people have to be confident in yourselves to look at these fisheries, to do these surveys, look at the hatchery reports, look at what's going on and say, the run is small, the run is big, the run is whatever it is, and open these fisheries, you know, given that. And I think I'd rather see us start that sooner than later. So I guess that's my feeling on it, is we should close stuff, evaluate it, see what this weather brings for coho. If there's plenty of coho, then open fisheries back up. If we don't see any coho showing up, then you're probably going to have to keep things closed so that we get our escapement. So that's how I feel. I think that the weirs are out in the rivers, I do believe. I haven't gone there to look myself, but...
Yes, they are.
So I feel like any hatchery fish that goes up that river with given normal flows... No, we're not in normal flows, has a chance to survive, has a chance to spawn, and come back with natural origin spin on him. So I think for us to look at anything and say, oh, we're going to keep it open to a hatchery harvest at this moment, obviously we're so far off on our run estimate that I think is a mistake. And I just think we need to become better evaluators of what we have at the time than looking at a piece of paper in April and setting seasons, which is kind of what we're doing. And we're never going to get anywhere out of this fighting. So that's my feeling.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Lance. Appreciate it. Mara?
So there's two things. In general, I would err on the side of caution here, meaning you're based on all your projections, the numbers for the spawning ground are pretty close to the goal for the spawning ground, but I know how much uncertainty there is in those numbers, and so being cautious to ensure that the fish get back to spawn, in my mind, would be the highest priority. I do need to say, Chad, though, that for some reason I didn't get the information from Barb that you're quoting real quickly here, and so I'm having a little bit of trouble diving any deeper into the discussion, so I apologize, but I'm sort of hesitant to make a real strong recommendation here because I was having trouble tracking a bunch of the numbers that you were, I need to see it instead of hear it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So, for what that's worth.
Okay, thank you. I think we can have, Mara, if you're going to be available afterwards, I think Barb could, we could get you in touch with Barb and she could go over those with you again.
I emailed her while we were talking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she'll reach out to you afterwards. Okay. Thank you, Mara. Andy?
Conservation. Err on it. You cannot have a marked selective fishery because, as you saw in the commercial fishery, it is 80% natural fish, and you don't have enough fish to warrant maybe having, saying, let's have a marked fishery in the river. So we're not going to catch a bunch of natural fish, let them go, just so we can go catch one. So if we're closing it, we close everything and everybody. And to just say a blanket closure, you are doing the stream surveys now. Okay, if you feel you get the fish back, open it back up. That's not a big deal. I'm sure everybody would support that. But for now, I think we're going with conservation. It's a good time to start it. So I'd say close everything.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
The conversation isn't, you know you're going to make your chum. So we're not talking about chum here. We're talking about saving some coho. So let's save what we can and err on the side of caution this time. And get away from priority-based management.
Okay, thank you. Greg?
I agree with a lot of what I'm hearing. You know, I want to err on the side of caution with conservation, but I will say one thing. The policy states that the priority goes, this is our priority fishery. And I get tired of being thrown, you know, the policy gets thrown at us when it's convenient for other user groups and this and that. So, saying that is, my concern is, this is what's going to happen, is my concern is, we're going to close our commercial fishery down. We're going to close our commercial fishery down for the rest of November, okay? My concern is then all of a sudden, wow, we found some fish, and we're going to open up a recreational fishery that runs through December and January or whatever. It just runs, it just goes. So the commercial fishery, even though it's got the priority, it's going to take it in the shorts when it can fish. And that's what I'm worried about, is because I know what the state's going to, I feel like, because I've watched you guys do this behind my house this year when we knew we were not going to get egg take on Chinook. I watched them run a fishery nonstop because the numbers, we have to do this. You know, so, and I think the same thing's going to happen on the coho, but the problem is it's going to be after our fishery. You know, it's going to be after November. It's going to be after that. So my suggestion is keep the fishery open, commercial fishery open. If you get the fish to warrant it, open it up for the recreational fishery in the rivers. Because just like Lance said, there's no, the weirs are out now. So you can't have a marked select fishery because, you know, and when they go spawn, they're going to be a natural fish when they're counted or whatever. They're going by the hatcheries, you know, so you can't have a marked select fishery in the river. That's just not going to work because, you know, they just intermingle, and they have been like that for years. They've always been counted as naturals when they get counted. So having a marked select fishery is not going to happen in the rivers, as far as I'm concerned, recreational fishery. So that's my concern right there. And until you guys can address that concern, you know, I mean, I want to see the fish come back, but I'm tired of the commercial guys getting it in the shorts, and the recreationals get the fish in the river like they did this year on the Chinooks, you know. So, and they did it a few years ago when we were sitting in the river. We were sitting in the river ourselves fishing, and all of a sudden we decided to close it when we knew we weren't going to catch, you know, when the fish were done. And that was in December or whatever. So I just feel like the same thing's going to happen this year. The fish are going to get by our fishery, the commercial fishery, and then all of a sudden, oh, the numbers are there, or we're close, we need to open this recreational fishery back up, and we take it in the shorts again. So I say run the season the way it is, you know, and let's see what happens, you know, because I'd rather, I'm tired of taking it. You know, I'm tired of sacrificing our fishery for a recreational sport fishery. Freshwater gets to mop it up, you know, because all of a sudden the numbers are miraculously better. So that's my suggestion.
Okay, thank you for that, Greg. Tim.
Well, I'm going to go the exact opposite of what I just heard. This season was set on a very concerning, optimistic preseason forecast by the department. We then brought in, given four commercial seasons, and we tried to raise the issue of freshwater fishing, and we were locked out. Now, this department then conducted its own in-season adjustment management practices, and here we sit. And the concern at that time was that you guys were going to do again what the numbers show, which is my opposite reason from Flint. You wait until you've wiped out all the fisheries, then you become concerned, and about the time it arrives in fresh water, when they've been waiting patiently, you shut them down. And you put the conservation burden all on those who live on those rivers. That is as unfair as it can get. So where I'm at is, you're on the side of conservation. You, the department, will be held responsible for what you've accomplished over the last few years. And it's not our fault. Do not look for blame for us. And when it comes to air and the site of conservation, the numbers I see here show there is, could be some room for some recreational fishing with selected fishing, even though there's going to be a shortfall of hatchery fish. But there is some room there. And I'm going to say, air to the side of conservation, but an air to the side of fairness. Pay attention to what Ross said. It may be potential that you can, when you go through these numbers, realize that you could still have a little bit of a commercial recreational fisheries up in fresh water where they've been waiting without doing significant damage, provided provided you don't put nets in the water all the way to the middle of the bridge.
I got too many phones going on.
Hey, is this my time?
Oh.
Okay, so that's the sum up here, is that air to the side of conservation, but if there's a little bit of room here, to be fair to the recreational fishermen, who always get it in the shorts, as those at the end of the line, look and see what Ross has brought up, because that would interest me. I just don't have the data and ability to calculate it or to consider it. So, A, you're on the side of conservation. B, when it comes to fairness, look to see if you can have some kind of a recreational freshwater fishery, because they're at the end of the line and they've been treated unfairly for decades. That's it.
We're gonna kind of wrap this up, but just wanted to make sure that everybody understood. We are considering making a change. This was information gathering for us to be able to throw some things around. We'll have some internal conversations, and I will reach back out to you all via email with the outcome. So thank you very much. for participating, and have a great day.
Hey, Chad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When can we expect the results of this meeting?
I'm not really sure. I would guess within 24 hours.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, thank you all for joining.
Thanks, Chad.
Uh-huh.